Thank you very much, Brother Desmond. Okay, you all, at this time, we will read our introduction, followed by our Bible story. And it reads, our focus scripture today is part of a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome. Paul was a Roman citizen. Although he had strong desires to do so, he had not visited Rome at the time of this letter. However, he was aware of the different house churches where the believers gathered as Christians. Paul was also aware of emerging conflicts and divisions among the members. The church was comprised of Jews and Gentiles. Unity that would typically promote peace and mutual support among the membership was being seriously challenged. Since he could not visit Rome at this time, Paul wrote the letter that we now know as the Book of Romans. Tell the Bible story. Rome was a powerful city with great wealth and influence. Polytheism was pervasive. The variety of religious backgrounds that also included Judaism and Christianity, along with diverse cultural and societal norms, all intersected within the church. Consequently, intolerance and disrespect for the diversity among the members was becoming a major stumbling block. In this section of his letter, Paul focuses on teaching members how to treat each other. Refrain from judging each other. Like a skillful lawyer, Paul argued his case for unity. He unequivocally established the fact that God is the only qualified arbiter to make judgments about such matters as righteousness, peace, and joy with the Holy Spirit. All are justified through the blood of Jesus Christ, and God welcomes all. He uses the example of a household servant and his master to convince the church of the serious inappropriateness of judging each other. The master had inclusive rights to establish rules and restrictions for his servant, determine what the duties should be, and to decide whether the servant should be retained or dismissed. Since God is the Christian's master, the right to judge is exclusively his. Therefore, no Christian has the right to judge another, for all will stand before God's judgment seat. In matters of the acceptable consciousness, Paul assessed that God has exclusive rights to judge. Paul's discussions of judgments regarding dietary habits infer that the Jewish Christians were arguing boisterously that all should adopt the same dietary practices. To resolve disputes of this type, Paul introduced the conscience as an internal monitor for determining what is appropriate and what is not. In other words, all have been accepted by God, and each Christian is to listen to his or her own conscience to determine what is or is not acceptable. Paul focused on food, but other scriptures clearly indicate that we should use this metric with all decisions. To act in ways that are contrary to the conscience is sinful. As Christians mature with the Holy Spirit's guidance, we are still commanded to refrain from doing or eating what we believe to be acceptable if doing so will cause someone else to stumble. Paul further explains the futility of focusing on mundane issues such as food, the kingdom of heaven, the promotion of peace among ourselves and edification of each other should be our focus. Evidence of this kind of focus is manifest in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Again, we find strong support for the commandment to love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, at this time, you all, we move to our lesson at this time. Again, you all, our lesson is entitled The Nature of the Kingdom. And again, it's coming from Romans, the 14th chapter, verses 10 through 23. I will briefly and quickly run through that passage again. And it reads, verse 10, starting with, "Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as it says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each of us will be accountable to God. Let us therefore no longer pass judgment on one another, but resolve instead never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of another. I hope and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus Christ that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it unclean. If your brother or sister is being injured by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. Do not let what you eat cause the ruin of one for whom Christ died. So do not lay or let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The one who thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and has human approval. Let us then persuade that what makes peace, and for mutual upbringing and building. Do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it's wrong for us to make others fall by what we eat. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that makes your brother or sister stumble. Then faith that you have as your own conviction before God. Blessed are those who have no reason to condemn themselves because of what they approve. But those who have doubts are condemned if they eat because they do not act from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin." Again, the nature of the kingdom. Now, you all, in the first 12 verses, as we've read thus far, 10 through 23, in the first 12 verses prior to us getting to our passage, and starting in verse, of course, 14, verse 1, we find you all that Paul has been teaching these Christians in the church, you all, to stop passing judgment on each other and to stop despising each other. You see, you all, the Jewish Christians, they were condemning the Gentile Christians about eating unclean foods and not keeping the festivals of Moses. And likewise, the Gentile Christians, well, they were despising the Jewish Christians for not eating what they eat or eating with them, eating all the foods, and for keeping the Sabbath and other feasts of Moses. We had problems with that. So they were, you all, to recognize that God had received them both and that God was the judge. And therefore, they were welcome, you all, to accept one another, but not, you all, for the purpose of disputing over rituals and now insignificant matters. Paul now is going to pursue this thinking further as he directs these Christians concerning how to act over these divisive issues. Now, the first lesson that the apostle teaches them is to never put a stumbling block in the way of another Christian. Now, you all, of course, verse 13 brings that to fruition. And verse 13, of course, says to us, "Let us therefore no longer pass judgment on one another, but resolve instead never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of another." Now, you all, the key thought of this verse is to stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, resolve to never put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. So what Paul is actually saying here, you all, is that if you are going to judge to never put a stumbling block or a hindrance in your brother's way. Stop judging one another. determined never to be a stumbling block or a hindrance. Y'all, this is a very important principle that we also must determine to do in our lives. You see, we need to make a Christian decision to never put a stumbling block in the way of our Christian brothers and sisters. Now, this, of course, is a point that is parallel to Paul's dissertation in the 8th through the 10th chapter of the first book, of course, of Corinthians. And at the end of the 8th chapter, Paul teaches you all that he would never even eat meat again to keep his brother or sister from stumbling. But then Paul takes it to a whole nother level. In the 9th chapter, Paul teaches you all that he forfeits his rights for the sake of the gospel. In other words, Paul was serious about making sure that he was not a hindrance to his brother or his sister. And therefore, Paul made sure that I'm not even eligible to have a right to eat meat or any food that is thought to be unclean. Y'all, we find you all that's over the concept what Paul does here by putting the thing of God before his desires, you all, is what we call as the law of love, overriding the law of liberty. You all, that's that overriding principle that we began talking about in our last Bible study lesson when I spoke of the concept that will be mentioned again on Sunday and how this knowledge of God is universal. Here we find now that Paul is speaking of the concept of law of liberty being superseded by the law of love concerning the Apostle Paul. So what Paul wants us to understand, you all, is that we must determine that we will choose not to do things that we know that such an activity is going to be a hindrance to other Christians. So the question, you all, is not simply, is it okay for me to do? You all, the question is also, is this something that could cause my brother or sister in Christ to engage in sin or be weak in conscience? You see, Paul, he teaches them, you all, do not grieve your brother. Verse 14 and 15 elaborates on that. And in verse 14 and 15 it says, I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus Christ that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean if anyone who thinks it unclean. If your brother or sister is being injured by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. Do not let what you eat cause the ruin of one for whom Christ died. Now, you all, we find here that Paul, he continues in chapter 14 about the knowledge in the Lord Jesus that basically reveals that there is nothing clean or unclean any longer in Christ. I mean, can any of us, you all, imagine how difficult this knowledge was for those who grew up, you all, under the potency and the concept of Judaism? You all of these guys in all of their lives, you all, they were rightly taught that certain foods were defiled and only other foods were clean for eating. For years, you all, even in the conscience, you all, they had been trained that these foods were unclean. I mean, even Paul, he didn't readily accept this. When three times the Lord had spoke to Paul in a vision of Paul Peter and told Peter, he said, rise, kill, and eat. Now, you all, these Jews, they had become Christians. But how difficult it was for them to change their eating habits from being Jews to liberated Christians. And Paul, of course, he knows that all foods are clean. However, for those who think that the food is unclean, then it is unclean. The other parallel we have here in verses 8 through 10, or chapter 8 through 10, you all, is found at the same point. Also, whatever another person believes is just as important as what I believe. You see, if a person sees you all the food as unclean, well, they should not engage in the eating of that food. You see, one can easily imagine the Jewish Christian knowing that the food is okay to eat, but the conscience is so strong that it will not allow that Jewish Christian to eat the meat. rather than instructing the strong and the knowledge one to teach the weak to the truth so that they would no longer be weak? Well, Paul is calling on us, you all, the strong, to understand you all where the weak is coming from. You see, the strong, you all, need to understand that the conscience is involved. It's not simple, you know, for them, you all, to change regarding foods. Verse 15 goes on, and it says these words concerning this concern here. It says, if your brother or sister is being injured by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. Do not let what you eat cause the ruin of one for whom Christ died. Now, you all, this verse capitalizes on this thought. If your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. Or in other words, you all, we are violating the law of love for the law of liberty. And we often hear people say, you know, I have the right to do this. I have the right to do that. Well, Paul wants us to understand, you all, is that the scar tissue that we put on the souls of our brothers and sisters in Christ when we ignore the law of love for the selfish act of our own liberty to do something, you all, that we know that we have liberty, but we must basically have concern for the brother above all else. We must have, you all, the determination to not put a stumbling block in the way of any person. And we don't care what we are doing and causing a problem for another Christian, then we have certainly a bigger problem. And the bigger problem is that, you all, we are not acting with the love that Jesus commands. We are commanded to work with one another. We are commanded to be understanding about where the other person is coming from. We must strive to validate each other's values and convictions. As I always say, you all, there are 8 billion people on the earth, and each with a customized set of values and beliefs. And if we can't try to understand and to stop devaluing each other, you know, I mean, how far can we move forward in the human race? I mean, this is, you all, the position of Christianity. You see, we must recognize, you all, that there are occasions when we need to hold back from our freedom for the sake of those who Christians' faith would be irreparably damaged by such behavior. What Paul gives us, you all, is a very important point that we must keep in mind, and that, you all, by what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. I mean, how can we ruin the faith of another? I mean, how can we possibly live with ourselves if we ruin the faith of another? I mean, we should not and we must not use our liberties to be a hindrance to another Christian. Now, Paul, he speaks on the importance and the necessity in seeking unity. Verse 16 through 19, Paul says, so do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The one who thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and has human approval. Let us then pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbringing. Now, you are in verse number 16. Paul, you all, he presents another problem before us. He summons us with this command, so do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. What we do, you all, should not be something that can be criticized as evil. I think that this is spoken in terms of how other Christians, you all, basically perceive what we're doing. While this, of course, is a true principle for all people, and that you all, we don't do anything that is going to basically hinder and turn the good that we do into evil. Contextually, however, you all, Paul is speaking about Christian relationships. We want to act in such a way so as to not cause Christians to stumble or see our good works as evil. Verse 17 tells us this, you all. In verse 17, it says, and I got to keep my paperwork closer by, it says, for the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, this basically continues the thought. The reason that this is particularly important is because, you all, the kingdom of God is not about what we eat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy are far more important in God's kingdom. The kingdom of God is about exercising, is not about exercising our liberties. Righteousness has always been the center theme of Romans. We are personally pronounced justified by God through Jesus. This is what the kingdom of God is all about. The future of our unity in Christ has been the other important theme in this letter. We are to be seeking peace and joy together, not destroying one another. Ironically, Romans 14, you all, has been a text that has been used in the past as a text of division and a text for destroying our brethren. But we do not need to believe the same thing to have unity. I hope that this letter, you all, is a lesson that we learn from this book 14. You see, some believe in eating anything, and some believe in only eating vegetables. Some observed basically certain days, and some did not. However, you all, these Christians, they can, they should, and they must remain in fellowship. They were not to separate from one another. They were not to destroy one another. If we go back, you all, to verse number 1 in this chapter, these guys will welcome you all to accept one another in fellowship, in congregation in Rome. But notice the rest of verse number 18. It says, if we are serving Christ, then we are accepted by God and approved by man. So we must pursue peace with one another. We must pursue mutual upbuilding. In application, you all, this means that we study the Bible together to learn from one another, to come to a common faith. So therefore, we must encourage as we study God's word together, and at the same time, learn from one another and come to a common faith. We should discuss our differences without fear of being devalidated or having basically derogatory remarks made. We need to correct things that are false and error. But we are pursuing mutual upbringing, not the ruin of another. We can agree to disagree with the hope of thinking about and studying each other's position. We can welcome one another, even when we do not understand all the scriptures the same. And in summary, verses 20 through 23, and it says these words in that particular passage. Verse 20 through 23 says, do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Everything indeed is clean, but it is wrong for us to make others fall by what we eat. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that makes your brother or sister stumble. The faith that you have as your own conviction before God. Blessed are those who have no reason to condemn themselves because of what they approve. Now here, you all, we find that in their final verses here in this passage, although Paul is not done with this topic, as, of course, it continues in the 15th chapter coming up, Paul, he summarizes, you all, his teaching to the Roman church and the Christians there. First of all, Paul tells them, don't destroy the work of God for the sake of food. In other words, you all, we don't have to wage combat over every issue or every verse. Not everything demands division. Not everything demands, you all, that we understand God's will the same to have fellowship. Secondly, everything is clean. But the bigger picture is how we treat our Christian brothers and sisters. Now, in verse 20, Paul is not saying, you all, that everything in the world is clean. I mean, adultery is not clean. Murder is not clean. Stealing is not clean. All things are clean in terms of what Paul has been teaching about. All food is clean. The observance of days is a matter of choice. Not only is it good not to eat or drink in effect to keep another brother from stumbling, but we do not, you all, want to do anything that would cause another to stumble. In verse 21, Paul gives you all the answer that everything is clean, but this is not relevant. What is relevant, you all, is the faith and conscience of others. And thirdly, there are things that we can keep and practice to ourselves. Amen. Verse 22, and let me read that one more time here. Verse 22 says, it's up, wrong page. Verse 22 says, the faith that you have as your own conviction before God. Blessed are those who have no reason to condemn themselves because of what they approve. Now, you all, I think that the application of Paul's point to the Romans was that you all, they could eat, but they could do so to themselves. They did not have to try to overthrow the faith of others. They could eat, you all, in the privacy of their own homes. And as a matter of fact, you all, this is the God-given liberty of all Christians. You see, what you eat, what you do in the privacy of your home is between you and God. Otherwise, our actions may quickly become a taboo in the value chest of another believer, which can and often do stagnate the observer's perspective of spirituality. So we can have positions on issues and verses that we can keep to ourselves. You see, there is a wisdom in keeping these things to ourselves, at least until we can be sure of our own understanding of our own position. I mean, maybe we'll change our mind. Maybe we're not at the point of understanding too clearly expressed to others what we really think and believe. And I personally, I try to, you all, keep as many opportunities of positions that I'd be wanting to make on my human viewpoint. But I work not to do that, you all. And that's because, you all, we have to be very careful because we might be shipwrecking another person's faith. We all have to be careful about the position that we express because we can be misunderstood as to cause others to stumble. We can keep our position, our opinions, our persuasions to ourselves. Therefore, you all, and finally, we must be aware of our conscience. Verse 22 and 23. 22 and 23, again, it says, then faith that you have as your own conviction before God. Blessed are those who have no reason to condemn themselves because of what they approve. But those who have doubts are condemned if they eat, but they do not act from faith, for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. So here, what we do, you all, must come from faith, not from the compulsions of others. You know, we need to know the word. We need to know the word of God for ourselves. Make ourselves available for the teaching of the word. Know the scriptures and act on what we know. Walk in the light. We must not let our faith and conscience become stagnated. Keep training our conscience. Keep teaching ourselves. Keep acting on our faith. We must not merely ask, is it good for me? It must also be asked, is it good for my brother? For this, you all, is the nature of the kingdom of God. And what Paul is advocating here, you all, is that love, you all, has a greater call. Paul cares about the church. He spoke about the creation of God's people, on how to maintain the unity within the church. And in this case, you all, the various groupings of believers in the church had bitterness and pride. They were wrongly judging others when they should have been focused on loving them instead of instigating. In other words, you all, they were messing around with issues that they thought was right when they should have just adjusted their own ways so not to cause others to stumble. Paul, his guidelines are clear, and they're very helpful in reminding us how to love others, even when others disagree with us. Our churches, you all, have many issues that are not always right or wrong. We as believers, we need to train ourselves to be more sensitive as what situations are always wrong or are sometimes wrong, but also to know how to best assist others in their spiritual growth, for this is the nature of the kingdom of God. That concludes our Sunday school lesson for this evening. At this time, we have our closing prayer, which is on page number 79. Desmond, are you still there? Okay, page 79. Let me go there quickly. Our closing prayer, page 79, reads as follows. Sing the Lord's Prayer. Closing prayer. Lord, we thank you for this lesson. It is clear that serving you requires openness to developing transformed minds. Please bless us to adhere to Jesus' teachings and the Holy Spirit's guidance. We also ask you to forgive us our sins and bless us to glorify you in all that we do. In the name of Jesus, we pray and thank you. Amen. At this time, we close with our Apostle Creed. Not Apostle Creed, forgive me, but our Sunday School Creed. And it says, I believe my AME church must grow and grow, and that I must make it a top priority to make it so. Every member a Christian, every Christian a worker, every worker trained so that a worker need not be ashamed. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you all, that concludes our Sunday school lesson. At this time, as always, never take it for granted. Any questions, any comments, any statements, reports, announcements, you all would like to take this opportunity to share, the mic is now open. Anyone? Okay, very excellent. Again, you all, we thank you so very much for taking out time in this hot old day to come out and take some of the cool water of the Word of God. We're so grateful for your presence. We thank you. We love you. We ask that you continue to pray for one another. We always know that God is in the working business, and his eyes are never closed. So there's never a time when he's not watching, and he doesn't know our needs. So keep each other in prayer. With that being said, there's nothing else on this end. If there's nothing else on that end, I wish each of you a wonderful evening. Again, we love you. Stay cool. Have a good night and a remaining Sunday evening. Thank you, everyone. Bless you. Good night. Good night, everybody.